T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're back. This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
All right, phase three of the Patriots offseason getting underway. You laughed. That's
phase
what it's called.
Phase three.
And I laughed. When you say phase three, if you don't think of Glenn saying phase three through a dental injury, then something's wrong with you.
Just talking about resiliency.
Yes.
Well, the Nobody Patriots start through. Phase three.
OTAs got started today, so the boys were down there in shorts and T-shirts. Yeah. No tackling, no hitting
No
at all.
Touching, really.
No pads on. But we did hear from Bill Belichick, who met with the media today. The sound is a little so-so, but we're going to start out with Phil Perry from NBC Sports Boston. He asked Bill about the particular titles tied to Joe Judge and Matt Patricia.
Have those jobs been specified for Joe and Matt in particular? They told us that, you know, Joe's been working with the quarterbacks and Matt a little bit with the offensive line, but those guys have titles.
Yes. We have titles. Yeah, look, there's a lot of jobs that we have to do. We're all working on those things now. It's May. They'll change in June. They'll change in August. They'll change in September. We're all to do the things timely that we need to do. And if you're asking about game plans, we're like months away from that. Months.
Maybe not game plans, but how about, like, the one role that we asked those two guys about was the play caller role. Is that one
away
from having a play caller?
So what plays are we calling?
Well,
then you can't play.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. We're a coach of team, coach of players. We're going to get them ready to go. We're going to game plan. We have to game plan. We'll play call. Do all the things that we need to do and compete in games right now. But we're months away from that.
I love Phil's approach there. Bill gives him the mini camp plays. That's what we're calling. Phil's like, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
All right, so can you translate for the people what Bill just said? For
right,
those like
right.
me and others out there, they're hearing that audio and say, what did Bill just say?
So,
why did they turn his mic off?
Phil Perry came in pretty clear, but Bill said a lot of jobs we have to do. We're all working on those. It's May. If you're asking about game plans, we're months away. Phil followed up and said, well, what about play caller? And Bill said, months away, months away. What plays are we calling? Minicamp plays? And that's where they follow. Maybe.
Yeah, minicamp plays. You're calling minicamp plays.
Is there any sort of offensive install happening right now, do you think?
Yeah, every single day. Install. We talked to Andrew Callahan earlier in the day, and he talked about all the boots and nakeds that they were running. And, like, that's the day one install. That's a Monday install. And since we really can't, you know, have any contacts, we're gonna do some running play action stuff, and then we're gonna complement it with a deep passing, see if we can use some of that speed. To me, the more I hear him, the more I actually believe him that he doesn't know. I believe Bill, because I asked you earlier, I said it's either one, he doesn't know, and it is kind of like an audition. He really wants to figure out. He doesn't know yet. It's too early. He doesn't know what his best option is yet. It could be him. It could be Joe. I feel like that's really the only two guys Joe Judge. Or he already knows who it is, but he's just playing coy and playing this cat and mouse game with the media. I'm leaning towards he doesn't know yet. I'm leaning towards he thinks he may be the best option. I think that he thinks he is the best option unless somebody declares that they can do it better and safer than he can.
So Joe Judge or Nick Haley, the only, because we don't think Matt Patricia is going to call.
We haven't heard Nick Haley's name once. Nobody's mentioned Nick Haley's name.
Point.
He got stepped over.
Right. Well, and to your point, Matt Patricia, he was pretty clear that he's going to be working with the offensive line when the assistants were interviewed back to back.
Keep away from that.
Keep away from the smartest guy in the room.
So Andy Hart from WEEI, he followed up right after that question from Phil Perry, kind of trying to get a timeline of when we could get more information about who's calling the plays.
Is there a point where a guy who's going to have that role would need the time to prepare? Is that by the start of training camp? Is that?
Yeah, of course.
Do you have that date in your mind?
No.
Do you know who will call offensive plays, or is that a process you'll let play out over the course of the offseason?
Yeah, when we get to it, we'll get to it.
All right, so to translate that, he said that it will be in place by training camp. Do you have a date in mind about when it's going to be in place? No, when we get to it, we'll get to it. So I guess it's just not super high on the list of priorities there right now.
It's just going to, you know, he's going to wake up one morning and be like, you know what? This is great.
He's just going to come to him in a dream.
So after this, then you have phase three, and then you have your official mini camp.
Yep.
Which is, what, like 3 days, and they always cut the one last practice off. Let's go see a movie, or someone's going to talk to them, do something stupid, some sort of team-building thing that doesn't involve them going to the Bahamas with the Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson. So what he'll do is, by the time minicamp is over, he will have to know. I would even say by the time minicamp starts, he will have to know. That's the closest thing to a real training camp that you will have. Like, this is like kind of like just getting your feet wet. But the mini camp is legitimately, we're having a competition. Like, we're competing. We're doing one-on-ones. We're doing live drills. I don't think he's going to, like, and if you don't know by mini camp, what makes you think you're going to know by training camp? Like, I mean, I need to know by mini camp. Like, all of a sudden, I'm going to go to Florida, hop on my boat, or go to Nantucket and be like, Joe Judge, Nick Kelly. Oh, my God, no. You know what? It should be Matt. He knows. He's got to know. It's either him. Or it's going to be Joe Judge. I think he needs to decide whether Joe Judge is going to be it.
So, Mego, is he allowing, do you think, the opportunity that Judge, he can see enough in Judge and say, I don't have to do it.
Yes.
Right now, he's the default. Like, he's the default setting. I'll run it because I know I've done it before. If Joe Judge emerges, then I'll let Joe Judge do it.
It may be him seeing now that the team, I mean, look, this is the first time that the team is all together with some exceptions of Adrian Phillips, Matthew Judon, well, N'Keal Harry, you know, really integral part of the team.
How do you get by?
But this is them doing their first live 11s-on-11s without hitting and everything. But maybe he just wants to see how the players respond to Joe Judge. So when they're dealing with beyond Mac, who I would assume he said, I've been working with Mac Jones, I'm working with Mac Jones. So I'm assuming there's a relationship there. But yep. It's probably, you know, it's possible that Bill wants to see how he is in action, how people respond to him, how the drills run through him. Oh. What?
Well, then, if that's the case, so Mac Jones has already kind of given him the, you know, the shining endorsement. You know, when somebody asks him about Joe Judge, he's like, oh, he's a great coach. He's been a great coach.
Well, what else is he going to say, Christian?
I know.
I miss
point
Josh.
Is that, yes, he should say, I miss Josh.
I miss Josh. I wish he could.
I wish he could blink twice, and then we'll come save him and try and transfer him or trade him to another team. I do feel like this is his job to lose. Like, that's what I feel like it is. Like, and I feel like eventually, but at the same time,
Bill calling plays is better than it Joe could Judge be.
I do think that I can't, like, when I think about how it would realistically play out. All joking aside, I do feel like his attention, as opposed to years past. Like, instead of, like, going over to the defense and talking to them as Josh is handling the plays and the situations, more importantly, I think he's not leaving that sideline when they're on offense.
Reports said today he spent 90% of his time with the offense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So we talked to Andrew Callahan from the Boston Herald earlier in the show. If you want to hear that full interview, it's on the Odyssey app or at WEEI.com at the podcast section. We asked him what he saw about Belichick actually calling the plays.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, when the quarterback is going from the coach into the huddle, making the play, and then going back to the coach and then the huddle, like, that's the conversation he's had. There were no headsets today, so the only person with the play sheet at that time was Belichick during the last 11-on-11 period we got to see.
So it sounds like it was pretty straightforward that he was calling a lot of plays in the live 11-on-11s. And then we asked him, do you think that he could seriously be the play caller, and that's why he just hasn't said it so far this season?
You know, I think it's on the table, and I think, you know, before I say anything else, it's important to remember this is, you know, May 23rd, 24th, whatever. I think Belichick is not sure at this point, honestly. And I think he is much better at dealing with uncertainty than any of the rest of us. This is a guy who went into late June of 2020 without a quarterback after Tom Brady, and it was going to be Jarrett Stidham. He gets Cam Newton, moves forward. Last year, the competition. Right now, I think he's going to let this play out, and we'll see where that goes. It could be him. It could be Joe Judge. I think those would be the two candidates at the time. But if Joe Judge isn't ready, then I think, yeah, he could call plays.
Boy, what would that look like?
Which one?
Bill, so on third and three there, take us through the play call. Like, is that the questions he gets now? As the guy who, if he's with the play sheet, he's making the calls. We get Bill Belichick post-game.
The answers, I did what I thought was the best for the team at that moment.
Oh, yeah, it's going to suck.
We didn't get no explanation, no clarity.
Of the options we have here, okay, he's the best option, right?
I say so.
From a coaching perspective.
Let's take a step back.
Yes.
It's ridiculous at 70-something years old that Bill Belichick.
Don't make him 70-something.
He's going to be 71 this year, Meg. Okay, going on 71. That a 70-year-old coach is now at this stage of his career. Yep, I'm going to now take over the offense. This is the time where you defer to more people around you, and instead, he's taking on more responsibility. So I like it for us. I hate it for the idea like the program is now Bill running the offense.
Okay, well, the other question that we had for Andrew Callahan was, okay, so Bill's calling these plays.
Yep.
What is that offense going to look like? Ooh. What did he see at least down there? You know, again, shorts and T-shirts, but what did he see down there today?
Well, I think this offense, and we've talked about this, you know, since I got in the beat in 2018, you can hear it beforehand, just how complex it is, and particularly for receivers. And I think what you'll see perhaps moving forward is things are a little bit simpler. We saw a lot of boot play action, which again, this is one OTA practice, but a lot of things that you see across the league and not necessarily in New England that are just more easily, this is what's going to happen. You have two options instead of five. And I think that's where things are starting to trend toward with the passing game.
Wait, did you say you saw a bootleg? Okay, there's an important take on this.
Oh,
okay? When it comes to
wham blocks,
no, not
fire
wham blocks.
Zone?
No, no, that's still in there. Boots and nakeds, basically complimentary plays
like
an off tackle.
Some sort of robber here.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Coach Greg.
they don't run them. They've never run them. They would never run them. They I think they ran it once. But since I can even be not before I was
once,
even playing
once
and I caught
Uno.
It and they never ran it again. I did go back and look at it. They don't run boots and nakeds.
Why?
Because Brady can't run it. He can't get outside. He can't finish the fake and he can't get back to the other side. He's too slow. But now they have a quarterback with some wheels for his youth and his age. And I'm officially declaring the Patriots offense of old dead. It is dead.
Isn't there another word you want to use for it?
Dunsky.
Try it again. Go ahead.
I would officially like to call the Patriots offense Dunsky. It's done. Think about it. You had a little bit of it last year because Josh was still here. It's his system. It really is Josh's system. Just like the West Coast offense was Bill Walsh's and all these other offenses, you know, that have like a name attached to it, a philosophy attached to it. A Mike Shanahan with his, you know, zone read offense and everything like that. They all have a coach attached to it. Josh is gone. Now you got Joe Judge, Matt Patricia, and you have Bill Belichick. The philosophy is different. It's changed. It's not going to be the same. Like this whole rumor, this reputation that the Patriots had of their offense being so challenging.
This issue's
nobody knows what to do. That was Brady. That wasn't Bill. That wasn't the offense.
This explicit is calculus.
So when a new quarterback comes in, it's going to be easy. Why? I'm gonna hand off to the right to one of my two big backs. And then the compliment to that is a naked, easy. I'm going to have obvious reads, easy to identify who's open. I go through my progression. It's not this crazy, like, mind-sharing thing that Brady had with Welker and Edelman and Troy Brown and all the other guys. This is simplified. So if a guy sucks at being an offensive coordinator, he goes to his sheet and says, well, I'm just going to run a naked. From the bootleg.
From Jeff Howe in The Athletic, it shouldn't be surprising. The Patriots sound ecstatic with quarterback Mac Jones' offseason dedication. He has spent long hours at Gillette Stadium, often beating the other coaching staff to the building get a jump start on film study for the day. He's also taking ownership of the offense, willing to vouch for plays and concepts that he likes, and pump the brakes on the stuff that hasn't worked.
Mac Jones going to be the play caller?
Wow.
I get in
what a crazy notion, a quarterback with an opinion. Wow, I'm not going to make it.
I'm not gonna make the season.
I'm not gonna make it through the season
Or the show.
The show I can finish. I can finish strong with the show, but this whole like mentality, like Mac is thinner, he's stronger, like he has an opinion. Like,
buddy,
he's
get ready. NFL Network.
Hello, welcome
today
to the position.
NFL host today said he's a dark horse candidate for MVP.
What?
For so get
who said that?
Get
that
ready
Peter
for
who
that.
Said that?
Peta.
Pete Schrager, ESPN.
Friend of the show.
He's been on your show before.
Mystery
Peter Schrager.
Guest. Yeah. Peter Schrager.
Missed that segment.
That was a bold prediction segment, right?
I don't know.
A dark horse selection.
Oh, okay. A dark horse same segment. Thing. Choosing horses.
Okay.
All right. We are down here at West End Johnny's until 7 o'clock. You get us for a bonus hour because we're leading up to Game 4 Celtics Heat. First, we got to look back once again at that ugly Game 3. We got to talk about who's responsible there beyond Jason Tatum and what impact Rob Williams will have if he misses Game 4 with Bam Adebayo taken off.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit PitchHitRun.com today.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go, wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Now back to Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI. Give me the bridge now.
I feel like busting loose. My belt line feels like busting loose. I'm so stuffed right now.
What is with the happy music?
Why? You want depressing music? Are you the type of person?
No, we're about to talk about a
horrible
Celtics loss.
Make it, Ryan, make it.
I don't feel like you're
the complete opposite.
What just happened?
Mago wants to feel sad, depressed. Play some.
Do you hear that Donnie Darko song?
I feel like the opposite.
Play some Chris Cornell. Like,
I
feel like, you know.
Darko song.
Play something like that.
Why does Chris Cornell and Soundgarden remind you of, like, sad music?
Every song Chris Cornell, at least when he was by himself, his solo, is all about, like, dying and killing himself.
Yeah.
Which eventually happened.
Just stop there.
Well, it's the truth.
It is the truth.
It is the truth. Like, go look at Chris Cornell. Ryan will co-sign on this.
I'm not co-signing on anything you're saying right now.
All right, is there a problem with Chris Cornell?
No, there's a problem with how the Celtics played in Game 3.
Oh, what a transition.
There you go.
There you go.
Mago's happy.
This isn't Chris Cornell.
No, it isn't. But Mago, here's what Mago wants to do. When the Celtics lose or when they're like going against, like, they have a challenge, she just wants to – only way she could be happier if it was raining and she could kind of look outside and just – what could have been?
Why did Tatum play like
that? Yeah, why did Tatum suck in the fourth quarter?
Why can't he drink?
Why does Tatum keep letting me down?
If only. Gray November day.
Yeah, there it is. There's the rain you want.
Thank you. This is the mood.
There's the
I
mood
wanted.
You want. No, go ahead. You have the floor.
I just think it was a historically terrible game, and I'm not ready to move on from it yet. Because Tatum, like, I don't even know where to begin.
I want to bask in the depression of Game 3 some more. Let's go. Let's go.
This is probably the worst song I've ever heard in my life.
23 turnovers. Yeah. 19 steals by the Heat.
Yep.
A playoffs franchise record.
Pretty good.
For the Heat.
For them.
You're just ready to move on now.
Yeah, I'm not ready to move on specifically.
This is the song I was looking for.
But
the worst song, the saddest song.
Is this
in the
you
world.
Playing the piano?
This is from Donnie Darko?
Yeah. You ever see Donnie Darko?
Bad World.
I think vaguely didn't like... something fall through, something from an airplane falls through.
The engine
fell
through.
It's like a time travel movie.
You got to watch it 3 times to understand
it. Sure, I'll
it.
Get right on that.
It's one of those. No, it's like Inception.
I need simple movies.
Top Gun?
Top Gun. Get me there now. Tomorrow screening.
You got your tickets?
Hopefully. Not yet, no. But I cannot wait to see Top Gun.
Okay, now I can't wait
That's
for this. Okay, so I'm done with
but
this.
But now this music, you guys have depressed me with the music.
Here's the issue. Here's the situation with the Celtics. If you were a believer and you felt like they had kind of you know, learn from their mistakes, especially when you look at, you know, the second round against the Bucks, and they had a similar start. They lost game one. They came back in game two, and then they went yo-yo. They won, lost. Tatum was good, bad, and then he was great, and then he was good again. So you would expect them, with the opportunity that they had on Saturday, after completely screwing up in game one, especially in the third quarter when they were outscored 38-14, they come back in game two, and they just throttle them. They do everything right. They take the life out of the Heat. Well, then the Heat say, well, holy crap, we were embarrassed. We need to figure this out. We need to fix it. And they come in from the jump, from the beginning of the game, and just flat out just show that they're going to have more energy, they're more motivated, and they're more desperate. So they punch you in your face, and you just sit there and take it. And so in 38-14 in game one in the third quarter is met with 38-18 in the first quarter of the third game. To me, I just don't know, like, why anyone would think that this is acceptable. Like, this is any sort of acceptable behavior for a great team and superstar with a superstar on your team who flat out disappeared. This is one of the, for a superstar, as far as superstars go, give me an example of a superstar that had a worse fourth quarter than Jason Tatum had in game four. Fakes an injury, has a bad little stinger, has to remove himself from the game, plays the last almost 10 minutes of the game, and gives you 1 point, Mutt?
Faked the injury or a bad stinger? You just said both. Which one was it?
Both.
He faked? Okay, it can't be both.
He had a stinger, but he exaggerated. He had a stinger. He didn't have a neck impingement. He had a stinger.
He missed two minutes, and he left the court. Actual game time,
he left the court. Who leaves the court with a stinger, Mutt? Who leaves the court because
someone
whose legs
hurt.
Go out on them because they have a little burning sensation in their neck?
He also came back. If he had not come back and played, I'd understand what you're saying.
What happened when he came
back? To play.
I'll tell you what.
He played the entire game. He sucked.
Good.
So he looked to be in extreme pain when he went down with that stinger.
Is there another kind?
He was down the entire commercial break, and then walking off.
Mega, you're pleased to not excuse this for him.
No, I'm just saying. But somebody who I trust and admire very much, Jeff Van Gundy, he threw some shade when Tatum came back, because one of the first things that Tatum did when he came back into the game, after he stood all kind of dazed and confused looking on the sideline, after he came back out from the locker room, you know, to the ovation that Marcus Smart got, like, coming back out from the locker room, then when he goes in the game, the first thing he does is, like, ram through a screen with that shoulder.
I have to test it out.
It's just like... I
think he's emotionally fragile. That's my take on him. That's why when he's winning... He's playing great. He's playing to the crowd.
You know, his shoulder must be feeling so much better. He just drove through that screen with his right shoulder, the one that he crumpled to the floor with.
Don't you think that Van Gundy was mocking him, obviously?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
He killed him in the broadcast. He also said at a different point in the broadcast, like, Jason Tatum is too good to be shut down by P.J. Tucker and Max Strus, which he is 1,000% right.
Good water on the back.
When they came back, it was stunning when Van Gundy said, "Where is Jimmy Butler?" And then they went to the reporter, and I forget her name, I apologize, and she said, "Jimmy Butler, what's that?" Ryan, go ahead, buddy.
Is it Stephanie Reddy?
Maybe, I'm not sure.
She has been throughout.
And she said, "Jimmy Butler's not going to play in the second half." It's like, okay, this is where Tatum gets unlocked. This is where... And to your point, he sucked. I'm not defending Jason Tatum. He was not the only reason they lost that game. But it is a very bad mark on his record right now. A really bad playoff performance.
One of the things we've credited Tatum with, I think, pretty consistently throughout the playoffs is how he's been able to close out fourth quarters for the team. Like, yeah, okay, somebody like Al Horford or even Grant Williams will start building a little lead. You know, a little lead. Like 6 points, 8 points for the team. And then Tatum will come alive in the fourth quarter and really seal it off for them. And that's why it was disappointing to see them in the fourth quarter cough up the ball like three times in the last 2 minutes. And it wasn't just Tatum. Jaylen Brown made a horrible calculation at one point. He was up against the shot clock. He chucked it up in between something like a shot over two key players trying to find Al Horford down. And Marcus Smart was at the top of the key waving his arms up right next to him. Jaylen Brown gets this tunnel vision, and it doesn't just affect his handling. It affects the way that he distributes to other guys around him as well.
I just think that's the way he is. Like, I don't think you're changing Jaylen Brown. Like, you're going to feast or famine with him. Like, he's going to give you – he'll give you a lot of points, and he'll cough it up. He penetrates so much, and there's so much traffic, and then he has success with it, and then the other side is that he gets it stripped, or he kicks it out of bounds, or it hits off somebody's knee, or somebody, you know, snatches it away from it. Just it's like it's a low percentage play for him, but he has success with it, so he keeps going to it. The passing stuff, I just don't get it. I feel like that's just Ime's got to be pulling his hair out with the way they're losing with the turnovers, because every loss of this playoff run has always been the same storyline, turnovers. And it's not like a couple turnovers. It's like a record-breaking amount of turnovers. It's like, why does it have to be a franchise-tying record for turnovers in the playoffs for the Celtics? Like, why can't it be 10? Why does it have to be 23?
Well, the issue in that game, they had no freaking rhythm. They had no rhythm on offense.
Their offense was terrible.
Like, it was that they waited too long to get the offense started. They didn't look for any advantage points. They didn't push it when they needed to push it, and then they would drag it up the court, and then they would force these passes and feeds that were not there, or have Jaylen Brown, once again, spinning into traffic. 7 turnovers. I know he put up 40. I realize he brought you within 1 point of at least evening up the score, but you can't have 7 turnovers against the Heat. They're going to eat you alive. And that's just what keeps happening in this series.
Well, because, go ahead.
Part of that, okay, and this is a bigger picture thing, that Marcus Smart is a very good player. He's not a true point guard. I think a lot of times teams that are led by a true point guard can settle themselves down and get into an offense. This team often struggles to find that rhythm because who's the guy who's supposed to settle them down on the court?
Like, that's Marcus Smart. Ime Udoka says it's him.
And if that's the answer, then that's the inconsistency, because he is a player himself. Is wildly inconsistent. There are times in the rhythm of the game, he's feeling it, he's getting other guys involved. There are other times where he looks for a shot first. He becomes a shot first point guard on a team that has Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And so, like, there's a trickle-down effect. Like, Kyle Lowry stepped in that game, and it was a different tone, different attitude. Smart, for as good as he is, I don't think does that from the point guard position.
I disagree. He's not your problem. You think he's your problem?
He's part when, he, when offensively they go sideways. Yes,
I don't think
it's
so.
His job to get them reset. Yes,
I actually agree with Christian here. I don't think he was the problem the other night. I think that especially when he got injured, like that's when stuff was really ugly. But with Jason Tatum, the ball has been sticking with him. Like, he was chucking threes that were wide open,
yep.
And he couldn't get a single one to fall. And he had 6 turnovers, but then when he's taking those shots and not making them, the play ends there. Like, they do not very often get on the offensive boards without Rob Williams out on the court. So unless Al Horford grabs one, or once in a while Grant Williams grabs one, or Smart gets in there really scrappy, that's once again going back to Heat possession. And guess what? The Heat are not a great offensive team, but with Kyle Lowry on the court, they push the pace.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because you're right. I don't want to over-focus on Marcus Smart, but I do want to say, and you nailed this, when he went out, and Derek White was in charge.
Oh, my gosh.
Derek White was awful. And again, they brought him in to be sort of like the Marcus Smart B for that second unit. And there have been games where that guy just looks like he does not fit. And other times where, again, maybe if it's the entire Celtic thing, up, down, up, down, he was awful in that game. The bench got outplayed mightily by Miami's bench when Smart went down. And if that happens again tonight, they're probably down 3 games.
And you know why it's like you still kind of sit there and you don't give up on this team is because with all the negative things that we can talk about, with them being down 26, they actually were able, and I give them credit for chipping away at it and getting within 1.
Some of them credit.
Well, but, know, but
without Jimmy Butler, like
it does. Okay, great. No, Rob. The point is, is that you were able. Listen, with all the stupid things you were doing and the terrible position, you were able to get within 1. But then you completely you gave it up again. You can go back and look at the play-by-play on NBA.com,
it's
turnover, bad pass, foul, turnover. It's what was all that for then? So you scrapped and clawed your way back. And then you almost made it respectable. And then you sat there and just said, nah, it's not, here you go. We'd rather be down 2-1.
Because what Mago said, they I think guys assumed, and I did, that's when Tatum was going to take over. And he just didn't, and nobody else could make
it. What is his problem?
No one could make
it. What do you think his problem is? And I'm being 100% serious.
I think Saturday there was something up with him. I think before
he was sick?
He looked fatigued the entire game. He had no energy. Again, a lot of times you go back and watch that third and fourth quarter, he's standing at the three-point line. The offense is running around him. He's standing, hands on his knees, doing nothing. And then no athleticism going back. Something was up with him in that game. I'm convinced of it. And even before he got hurt. So if it was a one-off, We'll see it tonight in the first quarter. He'll come out and be dominant. He'll be the Jason Tatum.
I want to ask you both something. Do you think that the Heat are afraid of the Celtics team? Do you think there is fear there? Do you think they're scared?
You think that you,
I'm asking you.
I think there's respect. I don't know if they fear them. I think they respect
them.
Do you think they're
afraid?
Intimidated?
I think they think
maybe
they're
fear
a bunch
is
of,
too strong. Do you think they're intimidated by the Celtics?
Oh, my
team?
God, no. I think they think the Celtics are a bunch of front-running.
This is a much
front-running. Look at me. My bad. Okay, I won't do it again. But that's all right. I don't think they respect them.
Because
I don't think
they definitely respect them.
I bring it up.
I'm not sure they fear them.
Because in the last 2 minutes, it, like, Max Strus did not look afraid. Like, they were,
it was a monster
he was afraid
three.
Of them. Oh, Bam Adebayo huge. Did not look afraid of anybody on that team the whole game.
Role players on the road normally don't perform at a high level. Those guys came in here, and they were great.
Saturday
off the
night,
bench. Yeah.
Prime time.
What do you
TD
think
Garden?
They say about it? Let's play this out then, because I do think this is part of this philosophy.
I don't know.
Mentality
what do you think
of
they
game.
Say about it?
How do you like my hair? When you
do you think they like the uniforms in white or green?
Are we going to go retro? But I'm not sure. Matt, what do you think?
I don't know.
Should I go French braid? I'm going to put my hair down. All right. Well, after this game is over, do you think that, because after a game like this, I would say collectively, hey, dude, they're front runners. If you challenge them, they back down. If they got a lead, they're happy. But when things are tough and they have someone who physically fights back, like, they give up. I think they look at the Celtics as a bunch of young, front-running wannabes that only are happy when everything is going right. And which is weird, because they have a history, at least in the last two series, of fighting back, of winning close games, of learning their lesson. But here they are with another opponent who is literally looking at them like, we don't believe it. Like, they want to crown you. They want to put you in the front of all the papers. You want to lead SportsCenter with Jason Tatum. Not how good Bam played, but how bad Jason Tatum played.
All right, some good news for the Celtics. According to Shams minutes ago on social media, Celtics center Robert Williams likely to play in game four tonight. He missed the game three due to knee soreness. I was just talking to somebody here at West End John. He's like, he had to play in this game. If it's just knee soreness and it's not structural, he had to play. If he plays 20 minutes tonight and it's a good 20 minutes, that's all you're looking for. No one wants to go out there and play 40 minutes and go up and down the court. We know you're dealing with something. But suit up, get out there, warm up, play through some pain. He had to go in.
But isn't this a predictable win for the Celtics, though? Like, just based on, like, I don't know what the gambling people say as far as, like, what the
Celtics
line is.
The Celtics are getting hammered.
Really?
The bets have come in on the Celtics. Line started at 7, went down to 6.5, now it's back to 7. A lot of people betting the Celtics and the spread and Celtics money line.
But I feel like this is the basketball, like, way. It's I get embarrassed, I learn my lesson. Okay, I have a home game.
What happened in game 3?
Crowd's going to be there.
Yeah.
And, okay, now you get some energy because Rob Williams is playing. So if he's likely, I guess now we're waiting on Marcus Smart.
Yeah, so we're still waiting.
Well, line back to 7.5 now, so there's been it's been a full point. Went from 6.5 Celtics. Okay. Now they're a 7.5-point favorite, so people feel pretty confident backing this team right now.
Yeah, Marcus Smart questionable, Jason Tatum probable, and then over on the Heat side, they got like three.
Tyler Hero out,
and then
Jimmy Butler day to day.
Who's the other
guy? I'm forgetting one guy there. PJ Tucker also questionable.
PJ Tucker.
Also, little NFL, the way Spolster's doing this with all these guys questionable. A little bit of gamesmanship with what's going on.
Well,
he said
that they intend to warm up, so that pretty much means they'll most likely
I would
play.
Think so, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to get to your Celtics calls next and discuss whether Peyton Pritchard might have pulled a dirty play. That's coming up.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Another hour.
We're down here at West End Johnny's until 7 p.m. And we're going to get to last call a little later in the show, which is brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. But I want to get to this really quick. Because Peyton Pritchard, he's been a player who I've had a lot of admiration for.
Yep.
He's a little guy.
You call him your son.
He runs around.
Yep.
She's
got a very motherly approach to.
Oh, yeah.
She's very protective.
I'm often proud of him, and sometimes I have to criticize him. And I'm not sure.
Go to your room. You don't often criticize him. Someone who's worked with you quite a bit. Not a lot of Peyton
not my
criticism.
Baby. Not my baby. He never did anything bad.
Fight for him online. What have you criticized him?
He's never done anything wrong.
I criticized him. Okay. When? I criticized him to Scout last week when I said I think that, you shouldn't have Peyton Pritchard out there all those minutes when they're switching on him and putting Jimmy Butler up against him nonstop in game one.
Again, that wasn't
Pritchard
really
was
his
upset
fault,
about
though.
That. He told Ema.
And
then what
Scout turned around and was like, actually, no, it's not really Peyton Pritchard's fault. And you're like, yeah, that's a good point, Scal.
Yes.
Stop.
That's true.
Oh, you're that is true. Been radio full-time for 2 weeks, already fraudulent. Here we go.
Very fraudulent.
She's learned.
Wow.
Okay, but Peyton, he had this incident, in the second half of the second quarter, where he was on Jimmy Butler, and it looked like he slipped on the court. This video is all over Twitter and all over online, because Heat fans are really upset about this. He slipped trying to guard Jimmy Butler, and it appears that he put his arm out and maybe tried to grab at Butler's knee to trip him up. Now, of course, Butler is still questionable to play tonight. Yep. According to Spoelstra, he's most likely going to warm up, going to try to play. But Eric Spoelstra was asked by the media if he thought that that move from Peyton Pritchard was a dirty play.
We don't know. It could have had an effect. It was not a basketball play. We're not really sure why it was determined as that was a basketball play, or that that was a legal play, or that was a safe play. We're not going to say it's bigger than it was because we don't know if that's what triggered Jimmy's injury. But regardless, it should be two separate examples, and we don't need it. We don't care. The league doesn't have to do anything. We're not begging for SHT.
Ooh,
that's the S word,
Captain Hardo.
That's the S word.
You know, where I'm from, we handle these things in our own way.
He's not a hard one. He's a good coach.
I love him. No, I love him. And, of course, he learned from Pat Riley.
Pat Riley, yes.
Okay, so, of course, no wonder.
His idol. I don't know if you know this about him.
Yes, I saw the picture up in the studio.
Is it? And he said, there is a bit of, listen, we don't care what the league says. We don't know if it did anything. We're going to handle it our own way.
That's
basically what he's saying. He's saying is, they're not going to come to our rescue. They don't want us here. So we'll handle it, and we'll, somebody's got to pay. But it wasn't a dirty move. To me, that's
it was
silly.
Cheap.
Okay,
it was cheap.
I don't think Spoelstra ever said somebody's got to pay. He's not
a
mob boss.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Read between the lines, Mago.
Read
between the lines.
He said it was not a basketball play. We don't know why it was determined a basketball play or a safe play. We don't care. The league doesn't have to do anything.
You are too naive for this job. You're too naive. You're too naive. That was a
cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo.
That means that's a rallying cry. That's we're gonna fight.
For what?
What would that response be?
What would the response be?
What is it gonna be?
You would go.
Kyle Lowry's gonna turn into a hockey goon.
Right,
what is
Tyler.
This?
I go cuckoo to you, and then you hear the call.
Assemble.
Yeah. Exactly.
But what are they going to do? As in what? This man is dancing outside.
What are they gonna do?
Our studio.
You're just going to have to find out.
But you say you're calling it a call.
You don't.
As in what?
I think Peyton Pritchard is a marked man. What do you mean how?
Fight him?
What do you mean you're going to fight anybody in the middle of the court?
So what
they're going to do. What? They drop the gloves. they kind of put that Vaseline underneath their eyeballs. But he's going to be hard fouled. Yes, he is. 100%.
It's rallying his own team.
No.
Us against the world mentality.
Somebody's got to pay.
That's all he's doing right now.
Peyton Pritchard, I wouldn't suit up if I was you.
I agree.
He's hiding
right
now.
It's just bulletin board material. He was asked about it.
It's a smart move by the coach.
I bet you that they took that film and they replayed it. You guys going to let this little guy punk you? Hey, see what they did to our boy Jimmy? You see what they did to Jimmy? This guy thinks he can get away with it.
Jimmy couldn't play the second half.
Jimmy feels bad now. Jimmy's limping.
Well, they do nothing.
They didn't escalate
at all.
Oh,
response.
I got you. Want to put a little side wager on this?
Sure. What do you want to do?
Okay, how many? I say somebody gets a technical called on them because of the way how rough they are with little Peyton Pritchard.
Okay, do you think Ime takes this into
I'll bring
account?
You lunch.
There
and
you
he,
go.
And he,
bring you
he
lunch.
Keeps he's Peyton out of the game.
I feel like somebody's
Peyton,
going
I have to protect you.
Somebody's who doesn't play at all on that team. like on the bench for Miami.
It'd be Udonis Haslam. He'd be coming off the bench, 45 years old, using all six fouls.
One of the Morris twins is down there. That's
oh,
the Morris.
Oh, that's right.
Markieff.
Yeah. I saw him, I was like, wow, okay, one of the twins. One of those guys.
We had Marcus. Well,
Scott Foster could be giving out phantom tees and to keep the Celtics back in the series. You never know.
If I was Peyton, I'd be worried. I would be worried if I was him.
Let's take a call real quick. Hey, John. John in the car, you're on.
Oh, my goodness. Like, Christian, all you've been has been like Julian Edelman, 9 out of 10 football hard-o basketball is so soft.
You hear him talk about his stingers?
God, yes. Jason, what is Jason Tatum gonna do? Like, I need him to drop 50 every night. Like, everybody, like every superstar has a down night. Like, admittedly, I think Tatum has been hurt for the entire playoffs. Number one, number two. I mean, have you been watching the playoffs? It's been every round has been physical. Every round has been close. Like, I don't know what you're expecting. Blowout city all the time for the Celtics. Like. Just ridiculous. You really were.
No. Okay, here's the difference.
Here's the
difference.
Calm down.
Here's the difference. You can have bad days shooting. That's fine. It happens. What you can't have are gutter balls. You can't disappear. You can't like be afraid of the moment. You can't exaggerate an injury because you can't hit any shots.
Seriously,
listen, that's the way.
Football is the toughest sport of all time.
No, hockey is. Hockey is.
Julian Edelman, like, hard-o land for certain.
He is, John. Glad you finally
called him
out.
Is the toughest sport. Okay. And then football.
Sure. You played a lot of hockey?
Well, that's a debate
a
for next hour.
I was a goalie. What do you mean I play hockey? I was like a badass goalie. If I would have played goalie my whole life, are we done? Sweet.
No, you're not done.
You're not done.
Bonus hour coming up.
We have a bonus hour coming up previewing game 4 here at West End Johnny's until 7 o'clock. We'll do last call in a little bit, which is brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car, donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.